Our Lord God Almighty, as we come to you this morning, we pray that you will make your presence known today in this place through our worship and song, our prayer, the reading of your word. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, within whose unity lies all that is you, perfect love, justice, peace, and power. As we gather here today, your body, your church, throughout this world, fill our outstretched hearts with your spirit. Encircle us with your love. Make yourself known to us in new ways, exciting ways, challenging ways. Empower us and inspire us, glorious Trinity. We pray this in your most precious name. Amen. Please be seated. So our story for today, our true story, comes from the book of Acts. And I'm going to ask Judy to come up and read that for us. We're reading two short sections from Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2. So you can open your Bibles, grab your phones, and follow with that.
And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now." When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
So God's always wanted to unleash his people on this planet to bring about change, to represent him, to bring his kingdom to bear. We know and familiar with the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we pick up this morning, just over 2,000 years ago, you had a picture of a group of people who had walked with Jesus, experienced his teachings, seen him do incredible miracles, and then he dies. Shock of all shocks. They see him hanging on a cross. He lays down his life. And scattered and confused, they disappear. They go back to fishing. And one day he finds them hiding in a room. They're terrified. Nothing makes sense to them. And so we picked up earlier on in John 20, 19, on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, the doors were locked out of fear of the Jewish leaders. Jesus came and stand amongst them and said, "Peace be with you." Incredible words. "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And so we get that really important moment in world history where this group of individuals that God has gathered to himself, he puts his spirit inside of them. And that's true for every single one of you. If you have at any point chosen Jesus, if you have allowed him to forgive your sins, and you have chosen to follow him and make him Lord of your life, then he put his spirit inside of you. Something not all of us are aware of. Sometimes the church teaches a little bit in a confused way, but if you belong to Jesus, then you have been made alive in the Spirit. The language of Scripture is you've been born again. You've been born of the Spirit, and so you have Holy Spirit in you. And so at that moment, Jesus puts his Spirit in his disciples. In our language, at that moment, they became born again of God. And then he spent the next 40 days or so teaching them about his kingdom. So they now belong to Jesus. They've got his spirit in them. And now he says, "This is what my kingdom looks like. This is what a group of people who are gathered to myself look like. I want to unleash you on the world, but I need to teach you some things first." And so for 40 days, they sit at his feet. And then, of course, after 40 days, he ascends to the right hand of the Father. He ascends to heaven. But just before he does that, in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, as Fred read, he said to his disciples, one last instruction: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait. Wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so they wait together. They gather every day in someone's house, and they pray, and they worship, and they wait. They wait. We're not very good at waiting, are we? But there's a reason that Jesus doesn't immediately pour out his Spirit in great measure on them. He needs to teach these disciples to wait on God, to realize that they can't be unleashed on the planet. They can't transform society. They can't be bearers of his kingdom without knowing that it's God who has to do it in and through them. And so they wait. They have his presence, but they don't have his power. You see, we can only be unleashed on the planet if we not only have the presence of God in us, but when we also have the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit in us. And so as they wait and as they watch and as they pray, pretty much like they couldn't do in the Garden of Gethsemane, remember when Jesus said, watch and pray, they fell asleep. This time they got it right. They watched and they waited and they prayed. And the Holy Spirit comes. When the day of Pentecost came, they were together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And so power was released in their lives. Power that saw them live more bravery. Power that saw them have new vision and new hope. A kind of vitality came within them that saw them change the world as we know it. Power that saw them go into the world representing Jesus and doing the exact same things that he did. What did Jesus do? He healed the sick. He gave hope to the hopeless. Spoke up for justice. He reconciled people to one another and, of course, to God. And they did one more thing that Jesus didn't do, and that is that they started a church. Jesus gathered a group around him, invested in them, and then he left and went to heaven, and then he left them to represent him on earth, and that's called the church. That representation of Jesus is you here on earth. He unleashed this group, this ragtag group of people. He unleashed them on the world, and they changed the world as we know it. And so the message is really simple on Pentecost, actually. And that is that God still wants to unleash his people on the world. He still wants to fill people with the power of his Holy Spirit. A power that causes them to live differently. A power that causes them to have victory over sin. A power that causes them to persevere under trial and hardship. A power that causes them to pray and minister to others healing and hope and deliverance and reconciliation. A power that fills his people with the fruit of the Spirit. Love. Fills us with love. Fills us with joy. Fills us with an unnatural peace. Fills us with patience and kindness. And fills us with goodness and faithfulness and even with humility and self-control. I don't know about you, but I know what it is to live without the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's not a life worth living. I belong to Jesus as a young person at 12, came to faith, experienced being born again, came into life and vitality with Jesus, but there's presence, but there was no power. I lived a secret agent life for Jesus. I was too scared to tell others about Christ. I was too scared to witness, to stand up, to represent Jesus in the world. I wasn't unleashed on the world. I know what it is to try and minister as a pastor without Holy Spirit power, and I can't. It's impossible. I just can't do it. And so I know that I need the fullness of the Spirit continuously in my life in order to be unleashed on this planet and on this world and on our community and on my family. God needs a Spirit-filled, Spirit-empowered church to change the world. This church needs Spirit-empowered believers to make up its membership so that we can be impactful on this community, and you need Spirit-filled lives. God wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit. I'll ask the band just to come forward. We're going to sing about that. Kind of makes sense to me that if it's Pentecost Sunday and we want to be the church that Jesus intended us to be, and if we want to be individuals unleashed on Jesus' behalf, then we need the fullness of the Spirit. And so that's going to be the focus for the rest of our time together this morning. We're going to sing about it, we're going to pray about it, and then as we share communion, we're going to ask Jesus to come and fill us with his Spirit.